for you?
Beg your pardon?
Is Hong Kong home for you?
No. Home for me, no. No. No.
How long have you been here?
Since 1952. Hong Kong at one time meant a lot to me. Short of loving it, adoring it, I liked it very, very much. Oh, yes, one of the finest places in the world to live in. Rents were low, no inflation, people were so polite. It was a lovely place when I came here. Oh, yes, despite the fact I had some prejudices against colour. You see, you couldn't blame me. It was drummed into us in India. So much so that when I fell in love with this nurse, when I had dengue fever, and I was in hospital, and I looked up and I said, are you natural? Are you real? She's an Anglo-Indian, the most gorgeous thing I've ever seen on 2 feet. And I fell in love with her. And I was spotted out shopping with her one day. Well, one of the directors, I won't mention his name, but he's the Right Honourable someone. We had 12 directors, they were all this, that, and the next, all very well. He said, I want to see you in my office on Monday. He said, you were seen out with an Anglo-Indian. He said, drop it. I'll write to your father and we'll sack you immediately. You know the rules. We weren't allowed to marry anyone that was from the country. It wasn't a, what they call 14 annas in the rupee. It used to be 16 annas to the rupee in those days. 14 annas meant she wasn't pure. But she was so sweet, she said, I know I can't marry you. It was either that or my job. And my father said, sack him. We're not having any Anglo-Indians in the family.
This is a British place.
Yes. But for only the next few months. And then I wouldn't be able to answer that. You see, the Chinese will be in control. The British take second place. We won't be the top dogs, as we always have been right back of our empire, India, 350 years, was it? 350 years, whatever it was, for Clive's time. And we were the top dogs there. There's no doubt about it. We were here.
And do you feel sad about that change?
Very. It's a magnificent administration going, being replaced by... I'm not being pro-British to the extent where I'm prejudiced, but I've seen what Britain's done. And all she's got in the back is a damn good hard kick in the backside. You see, the Chinese are not grateful people. They're most ungrateful. The more you... the kinder you treat them... the more they kick you in the teeth. I know their character. I would say that if the British go, it will be a happy day. Of course, I'll feel sad, naturally. I've been under a British government all my life, haven't I? They're not perfect, but I would say they're the finest government in the world. Now they're losing this gem. It's a jewel, isn't it? This place. As my sister said, we're handing over a jewel to China. This is a sad thing. Let's hope she doesn't destroy it. As Mrs. Thatcher said, look after this little baby. It's worth something. I'll be honest with you, I was having an affair with an Air Force chap's wife here for many years. But... He turned out a real rotter. I used to beat her up and all sorts of things. And she was so sweet. She had two horrible children, took after father. And she lived right round here. And when she went to him, got cancer, and that was it.
She died?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. I'd have gone back and stayed with her. They call it an old man's home, but I don't consider myself an old man. Funny. Where are you? Well, there we are. Excuse you. Is it chicken?
Yes.
Take some rice?
Oh. Hang on.
Eh?
Where I put this? Cauliflower, yes.
Yeah, cauliflower.
That's good enough. Yeah. You can have, it's chicken. I don't know where you could sit though. No one believes I'm 75. Not even the doctors couldn't believe it. But I am. That's another reason, being so fit here, and they're all so unfit, if there's such a word. They're all limping loose here, and I think there's a certain amount of jealousy. I don't fit in with them. I don't know why. But there it is, I can feel it. And I've heard them say, oh, bloody colonial snob. I don't want to offend them, but there it is. If I can get out of this place tomorrow, I would. I feel sort of in a trapped position, you know? Like the animal you've got hold of and he doesn't know which way to go, how to get out of the trap. Well, that's how I feel. Trapped. Where I would like to go, I don't know. I'd just like to get my what's-his-name on a seat and away we go, wherever it's going. Where is home for me? I've no wife, I've no mother, I've no father, I've nobody left. I've lost two people I adored, my two sisters. All my family's dead. My guess for the future is we're dealing with a regime, a country, which I don't particularly trust. I've got to be very careful what I say because they're listening the other side, you know, and I don't want to be a marked man because they take your neck off in 5 seconds. They've got their spies here. They're not idiots. I mean, everyone knows that. They've got them all over the place. We don't know who they are. This is the point. Oh, yes, they're not fools.
My association with Hong Kong goes back about 4 generations. I was born here. My parents have been here for about 40 years. My grandfather set up a business here. My great-grandfather set up a business here. And I suspect that no matter where I end up in the future, it'll always be my home. I love being in Hong Kong, I think primarily because the fact that it allows me to be this busy. I'm juggling social commitments with work commitments and people and people and more people and deadlines and meetings and interviews. It's just this whirlwind of color and excitement. To maintain a sense of belonging to a place when you know it's going to change, the changes are inevitable. It's a bit like, sounds silly, but it's a bit like being with somebody and you know he's going to die. It's a bit like that. So you know that there are these changes that are imminent, that there's a way of life that's going to leave you, and you don't know what's going to replace it, and you have nothing else around you to cushion you or to comfort you or to protect you. The people that I come into contact with a lot are very glamorous and sophisticated and well-traveled and very wealthy. People aspire in Hong Kong. You can't sit back and wait for life to happen. You've got to go and make it happen and have what the haves have. I'm here to see the collection and to write about it for a fashion page that I do. And see my friends and just have a good time.
This is the design.
I know, Gemma.
Congratulations.
Good to see you.
I'm glad that you come to the show.
Of course I will. It's a lovely show.
Thank you.
This is a very materialistic society where status means everything and flaunting money means everything and being seen to have the right cars and the right watches and the right clothes means everything. I know of a lot of women that will go out and buy something for a special event, wear it once and then give it away because there's so much emphasis in this town on appearance.
I'm looking for somebody to join me. I'm following the wildebeest in Africa in a jeep.
Following the what?
The wildebeest. The gnu.
What's a wildebeest?
Tens of thousands of kind of... like bisons, the American bison.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going by jeep to follow them.
Well, you just got a club med like everybody else.
Huh?
Well, you just got a club med like everybody else.
I don't want a club med like everybody.
What's interesting about Hong Kong is it doesn't really take heritage or breeding to make it to society. All you need is cash. I have something called a BNO, which is a British nationality, British national overseas.
Were you born with that?
No, actually, when I was born, I had a full British, but then they kind of faded that out in the early 70s and replaced it with something called a BDTC, and now they've just gone and replaced that with a BNO, and then eventually they'll replace that with a BOC.
What are those changes kind of meant to you from being born British? What have the changes meant?
Well, I didn't really understand it till very recently, but what it means essentially is that, 30 years ago I could have gone to the UK to live, and now I can't. Because I'm not ethnically Chinese, I'm not entitled to a Chinese passport, and I just don't understand why the British government is not giving me a British passport. I went to the House of Lords in London quite recently to try and campaign, and just to get them to change their minds. I don't know what they're going to decide, but until I do know, the emotional trauma is unbearable. Thank you. afraid and very disappointed. Slightly humiliated even. As if I've been dismissed. That my views and my opinions and my feelings and that I don't count. So I think that is actually what upsets me the most about all this, is they've taken some people and said, well, all right, you know, we'll give you nationality, but they've said no to others. And I feel like saying, well, hang on, what makes this person more worthy? And I think that's what upsets me the most about this, is it actually really gets to the heart of all my insecurities about myself and my status and my future. The fear hits me when I'm on my own. I just start to think and I start to worry. I almost envision a time where everything around me collapses, everything as I know collapses, and I'm told that I have to leave, and everybody else is going somewhere because they have a place to go and they've got homes and passports and families. I won't be able to go anywhere and I'll just be stranded here by myself. I saw Schindler's List, and I know that seems like an extreme example, but when you're feeling that vulnerable, everything makes sense and nothing makes sense.
中国开平啦，广东开平，我就喺屋企咯，我老豆食阿片烟咯，就食阿片烟，我喺外婆度同埋阿婆度抄大咯，抄到我8岁大，我出嚟香港咯，我细佬就3岁大咯，佢又卖我又卖我细佬咯，食阿片烟我钱嚟，20蚊咧就卖咗个仔20蚊，就卖一个女咯，卖咗之后俾我外婆知道，咪赎翻咯。 赎翻出嚟香港个妈度啦。 thì chỗ đàn ông đòi nó lấy đi. Chỗ mày ra. Tôi sẽ ngâm bắt lại chú Tăng. Có sáng nhau kế sọng niềm rồi. Sáng chọc, những chọc kế niềm lục sọng niềm nó có sáng. Những đến đi có sáng là dòng trái vàng mình mạng vân ngã càng. Khi nào cái này mày, một thái mua đọa thì vòng nhìn sang với anh thấy. Mày chồng người ấy thấy được, chứ quân nó cái này chẳng hả lộn mày, mày yêu ca cái lo. Thôi mày bảo nhé, thấy cái sáng là trông gì lo. Công quả những công tư này tại được công tư này lấy được mọi. Như hãy yêu hãy ngủ cái sáng thì trông gì chứ. Như tại được công tư này nó mà. Có luôn muốn tám này à, cứ cháu dân tại sống phân hết đồ hàm, cứ đó mùng cắm chất xem. Công quả kêu cái pháp ăn cho lấy hàng con ạ. Ngọn ngồi thủng đi bác anh chơi hàng cổng. Cứ đi ca chê sẽ nhận lệnh. Cũng mà xảy lo, cũng mà vân như ngồi lo. Cũng có hồng hương gái kính thì mà ngài xảy ngồi lo. Chỗ bên dưới hồng mà cắp bộ cái trời mà chú biết mấy cái cháy rồi cơ mà. Mừng cô cháy mệt vào lắm. Cái lục cháu, cái lục chiêu chất hổ nhà lắm. Dành đi ông xỉn đám chút, ông xe đám chút. Có hàng lục chất.
Dạ, hãy tôi sẵn mà bộ chỗ là xỉn giới thẳng là. Bộ là, bộ học văn anh xuất liền. Văn anh xuất liền rồi, cháu ở thái lý xăng rồi dập bá lãnh thị trí rồi. Hương phóng nhận cái đi vẫn đối chiến là găng à hậu đi là có đấy trung vọng nhận vẫn đối chiến cái đi đâu hậu vẫn đối chiến cái đi mà làn trốn một chỉ cây đó hành trong làn trốn cái là cái ngày đông hậu cái là cho mà lẻng vân lo mà lẻng vân đi chi tiết hà đây chi tiết không to là bao giờ đâu mà cảm động to là cấm đây nữa cái này xảy chỗ cấm mà lẻng vân sẽ đây để chậm tủ lo à chỉ có xảy ra coi vậy là bao mày đó lục màn là giờ đi hút khủng ra cháu sơn người bố lo mà cháu huy thấy nó còn lai cho này mày huy nó đi màn sành màn cho ngành rồi nó chút chi nhà nó lại sang rồi đó muốn đi công trình giàu ra muốn đi vào trong nhiều cái đường biên đồ à trong nhiều người lông mặt đâu con nắm mà con gì à con người nó muốn nó phải đi là nó bố sang chỉ mày chú nhớ nhớ mày à mày chỉ cái gồ chỉ cây lo cái to đây còn nay tài lục phi sĩ cái em đây còn phải không? Mũ đã tụt keng rồi chỉ cây em mày. Giờ mày bà hậu xăng, giờ mày bà giống mày phê đã hỉ mày chật chật. Lâu là, giờ muốn chật cái ông phê đã tổ.
Mày
有翼啊，飞嘅啫。
边正啊？知得啊？
香蕉
啊？好啦，我最嚟就噶啦。好啦，好啦，
好啦，好
啦。咁啊 ，OK， 攞埋呢个啦。好啦，好啦。好啦。
哎。
好啦，唔該唔該，唔該噃。OK， 唔該曬。
何须为美丽装上面具？来吧，假如你才是面具，我会真实地面对，用鲜花、太阳的彩焰、蜜蜂的精灵、鸟鸣的动听，逗你眼板板的面具。
I was very fat before. I mean, I'm still, I, you know, and I'm, but I'm 30 pounds less than before, just because one day I read, you know, report, I don't know, in Economist or what, you know, that if you're fat, you have 1/8 the chance of those who are thin to live beyond 65 or something like that. You know, I just get scared because life has been so wonderful. You know, I want to live long life.And then, but if I want to change to a thinner body, I got to change my way of life. So I eat less, I eat 1 meal instead of 3, and I swim every day and exercise because, no, life is so wonderful. I just want to live a long life. And I want to work at it.
Preferably in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Would you like to grow old in Hong Kong?
Of course. Of course.I'm still young. Yeah. It's a great fortune for people to be old and feel home. That's very important for old people.8, 9, I was in the street actually hustling for some money, helping people carry their luggage, you know, the tourists. So I had access to people come from Hong Kong, and they always impressed me with such a nice clothing, and when I carry the bags and such good aura, you know, it's really a good smell. So Hong Kong was always something that I had access to. I heard about, I was impressed.And one day I was sitting in the street, and very nearby a tricycle stopped, and I rushed to have the guy with the bags, and after that, you know, the guy fell to the pocket and gave me a crack or something. I turned around and tasted it. I said, what's this is? And he said, chocolate. I said, where are you from? Hong Kong. I said, Hong Kong must be heaven. I never taste anything that good. And that moment triggered my decision to come here.It doesn't matter if, you know, people say that I'm a colonial subject. I have been a free man. I'm proud of it. And this place has been so great for me. You know, not just gave me all the wealth I have, all the opportunity to make all the wealth. It also gave me the chance to learn, to have access of books of my choice.
I was assigned to interview Jimmy.After the June 4th Tiananmen massacre, and he was quite outspoken on the whole thing, and I went to interview him as how we met. And he was wearing a pink shirt and pink socks. I thought it was very cute. And then he was very, very honest, very, in a way, very romantic and very poetic.
Why is your husband so unpopular with the Chinese government?
Basically, it's, he wrote an article about Premier Li Pan, and then he used some quite abusive word, and then since then he was he's in trouble with China, and the whole thing happened.
What was the root word?
Like the son of the turtle is, for example.
Son of a turtle, sir.
Yes, or I hope that he would drop dead on the street.
我現在我相信回內地可不可以,我真的不太確實啦. This praise is going to be changed to a government who are so used to the authoritarian way of managing people. That gives you some food for thought, some cause for caution, especially me, who lived there once, escaped from there. Now, do I have to escape again? That's hard. You have to escape twice in your life? That's hard. That's very hard.
Den 1 juni 1997.
Storbritanniens premiärminister Tony Blair kan komma att bojkotta ceremonin när Hongkong överlämnas till Kina nästa månadsskifte. Anledningen är enligt uppgiftet i Sunday Times att regeringen i Peking avser att utnyttja ceremonin till att få omvärlden att acceptera att den folkvalda församlingen i Hongkong upplöses och istället ersätts av ledamöter som Peking godkänt.
Den 1 juni 1997. En månad kvar. Ett flertal rapporter denna dag.
I Hongkong ser många fram emot det kinesiska övertagandet om en månad med tillförsikt. Medan andra är mycket oroliga, bland annat för vad som ska ske med den nuvarande rätten att demonstrera. Som idag när tusentals Hongkongbor marscherade till minnet av massakern vid Himmelska fridens torg i Peking.
Med en målad demokratigudinna i spetsen marscherade tusentals Hongkongbor idag till minnet av massakern i Peking för 8 år sedan.
Upprättelse åt demonstranterna från Himmelska fridens torg och fortsatt demonstrationsfrihet också efter den 1 juli. Ja, det är några av budskapen på plakaten här.
Den svenska prästen Lennart Hamark har bott länge i Hongkong och deltagit i flera demokratidemonstrationer. Och han, liksom många, befarar att dagens protest kanske var den sista i sitt slag.
Det finns ju mycket som talar för att det kan vara sista gången. eftersom det har kommit signaler både från den nya guvernören och från Peking att man inte vill se kritik som riktar sig mot Pekingregeringen. Här känner sig många organisationer oskyddade och osäkra. Därför de befarar då att om de företräder åsikter som den nya regeringen tycker är en kritik mot regeringen, så kanske i vissa fall lagen kan användas mot dem. Och det är själva den här osäkerheten på hur en lag ska användas som sprider en osäkerhet för framtiden.
En vietnamesisk flykting, en filippinsk hemhjälp, en kinesisk dissident och en frispråkig politiker. De har inget gemensamt förutom två saker. De lever alla här i Hongkong och de är alla rädda för vad som ska hända dem efter den 1 juli. Det är datum då Hongkong blir kinesiskt. De vietnamesiska båtflyktingarna måste bort från Hongkong. Det har Peking gjort klart. Men många har ännu inte funnit ett land som kan ta emot dem. Bland hundratusentals filippinska gästarbetare råder en stor osäkerhet om vad som ska hända efter den 1 juli.
If they will send us back, then what will I do? Then I'll go back.
Värre är det för dissidenter, sådana som Yang Guang. Han satt fängslad i Kina och flydde till Hongkong. Nu har han en hemsida på internet med Pekingkritiska budskap. Och han är orolig för sin familj. Yang har försökt få visum till ett tredje land men ännu inte lyckats. Han delar sitt öde med tusentals andra Hongkongbor som skulle vilja lämna Hongkong men som inte kan.
And they are not in a position to leave Hong Kong. And that is why we must do our best to make sure that they remain free.
Martin Lee är Hongkongs ledande politiker med 65% av väljarna bakom sig.
Sooner or later, you will see people put into prison for their political beliefs. Now, I don't want to see that to happen. And that's why I'm still doing my best to stop that from happening.
And what about you personally? Are you concerned that you might as well end up in prison?
I don't think the likelihood is great.
Det var fler som marscherade på gatorna än som tittade på. Normalt brukar det vara tvärtom i Hongkong. Men lika osäkra som demokratianhängarna är inför övertagandet, lika självsäkert uppträder finansmarknaden i Hongkong. Börsen har slagit det ena rekordet efter det andra. Pekings vilja att fortsätta utveckla Hongkongs superkapitalistiska system är det ingen som tvivlar på. Hongkongs nya ledare, Tung Chee-hwa, har sagt åt Hongkongborna att koncentrera sig på affärer och inte ägna massakern vid Himmelska fridens torg onödig tid. Men det är sådana signaler som människorna här menar gör det nödvändigt att ge sig ut på gatorna och demonstrera.
Efter den 1 juli kommer massakern på Himmelska fridens torg att kallas för incident istället för massaker i skolböckerna. De håller nämligen på att skrivas om. Innehållet ska nu bli mera Kina-vänligt.
Det här är och har alltid varit Hongkongs framtid. Nästa generation, den välutbildade, ambitiösa ungdomen. Men efter den 1 juli är det här också Kinas framtid. Därför vill Peking att den brittiska koloniala undervisningen ersätts med en mer kinavänlig, en mer patriotisk utbildning. På Wangtou, en mellanstadieskola, har man alltid varit pro-kinesisk. Och därför hissar man nu mer än gärna den femstjärniga fanan. Man räknar otåligt dagarna till övertagandet. Wang Tu är en privatskola och här börjar eleverna varje dag med obligatorisk läsning av två Pekingvänliga tidningar. Dessutom sker undervisningen inte på kantonesiska som alla i Hongkong talar, utan på mandarin som är det nationella kinesiska språket. Kritikerna kallar det här för indoktrinering, men skolans ansvariga menar att man bara motarbetar en anglosaxisk världsbild. I en annan del av Hongkong firar man inte alls inför övertagandet. Här på CMA-skolan har man av tradition undervisat i engelska, och här har eleverna fått lära sig att massakern på Himmelska fridens torg just ska kallas för massaker. Men det är det slut med nu efter den 1 juli. Nu ska läroböckerna skrivas om och massakern ska kallas incidenten. Och Kina ska heta fosterlandet, ingenting annat. Hela utbildningsplanen kommer att göras om.
Chinese culture, a Chinese geography, which they have not been taught so much before. And to tell them you are Chinese now.
Hongkongs ledare efter den 1 juli, Tung Shua, han ger en mycket tydlig signal när han väljer att besöka en av Hongkongs skolor. Naturligtvis blir det en så kallad Pekingvänlig skola. Här har man redan prytt skolgården med Hongkongs nya flagga. Och här uppstår plötsligt ett sällsynt halofenomen på himlen. En symbolisk gloria över Hongkongs nya härskare och över Hongkongs framtid, den nya Pekingvänliga generationen.
Nu ska det handla om Hongkong. Det är många som inte kan glömma den 4 juni. Och på onsdag har det gått 8 år sedan kinesisk militär krossade de obeväpnade ungdomarna på den Himmelska fridens torg i Peking. Massaken slog världen med fasa, men särskilt för Hongkong var det en förfärande chock. Där demonstrerade över en miljon människor, de flesta kineser då. Och även pro-kinesiska tidningar fördömde dödandet som fascism. 8 år senare och precis en månad före Hongkong överlämnas till Kina hör vi andra tongångar. Hongkongs nya ledare har i veckan uppmanat demokratirörelsen att sluta sörja 1989 och se framåt istället. Peking vill inte se Hongkong förvandlad till en bas för omstörtande verksamhet har Hongkongs nya ledare gett som budskap till demokratiaktivisterna. 8 dagars Erik Arner har besökt Hongkong en månad före överlämnandet.
En och annan kinesisk flagga syns redan i Hongkong. Men snart kommer Kina att låta 1000 och åter 1000 flaggor vaja. Och en sak är redan klar. Om någon i Hongkong efter den 1 juli öppet förespråkar frihet för Taiwan eller för Tibet, så kommer den människan att råka mycket illa ut. För då har man hotat Kinas nationella säkerhet. Minns vad som hände på Himmelska fridens torg.
Ja, är det någonstans man ska se den osminkade sanningen om massakern på Himmelska fridens torg i Peking 1989 och varför den hände, så är det väl här i Hongkong. Bara på den här lilla biografen visas den 4 gånger om dagen och den har gått ovanligt länge för att vara Hongkong. En 3 timmar lång dokumentär som träffar som en tung spark i magen. Frågan är förstås om den kommer att få fortsätta efter den 1 juli.
Till den mest kända bilden säger den kinesiska statstelevisionens röst. Detta visade att våra soldater i Folkets befrielsearmé iakttog största möjliga återhållsamhet vid incidenten. Efteråt finns det en och annan som torkar tårarna, och det är många som har sett den, inte bara Hongkongbor utan även många fastlandskineser som kommit resande bara för filmens skull. Nej, en majoritet i Hongkong är faktiskt inte alls orolig. Vi är ju kineser, säger de. Klart vi ska höra till Kina. Det blir nog bra. De som öppet kritiserar är i minoritet, men de demonstrerar praktiskt taget dagligen. Inga stora demonstrationer, men många. Och Christine Lo har på sistone till och med bildat ett nytt parti.
Of course, we have our vision and our values. We are definitely of the liberal democratic persuasion. We also want to build a political culture in Hong Kong, which is competitive, but non-adversarial.
The thing is, I think the Chinese government would like to take over a prosperous and stable Hong Kong with as little trouble and disturbance as possible. But they want to exert control. So if they perceive things to be getting out of hand, they will take actions. And those actions could include arresting